You know, I've got a custom, and I think it's a good custom that the Lord put this on me a long time ago, and I've told you about this before, but I want to remind you of it because you need to join with me in this. I read in the 14th chapter of Matthew one time about the loaves and the fishes. I was real struck by the Lord told the disciples to give you them to eat. And then they said, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And I try to consciously do that. That's all I got. I'm supposed to be feeding God's children, but I can't do it unless the Lord takes what I've got and that he breaks it and gives it to you. And then, of course, he gave it back to them. They distributed it to the people. God could directly preach if you wanted to, but he used his men to preach. But I realize unless God is in the matter, that it's kind of flat. So I hope you'll be always praying. Now, I'm going to preach another sermon, Lord willing, today on marriage and the family. This will be the third time I preach on that. And I don't know how many times I'm going to do it. I want to thoroughly preach it. And this ought to be interesting to everybody. No matter what kind of condition you're in, some people are widows or widowers. Some people are unmarried. Some people have broken marriages. Some people are young. We ought to all be interested in anything the Word of God teaches. If we're not in a marriage situation, we can pray for those who are. We know that marriage is being attacked today in an unusual way, an unprecedented way in our nation. I'm not going to talk about that so much today. I will eventually get on some of those things, I think. But today I just want to talk about the goal of marriage, and I want to really speak about the woman's role today more than anything else. I want to tell you, sometimes, you know, marriage is a wonderful thing indeed. Now, I want to give you a word picture. Don't forget this word picture. Marriage is like, you know, one word means yoke. When he said he joined together, it means yoke. So we'll get the picture of a husband and wife pulling together in the yoke. The husband may be the leading horse. Hee-haw. but you're pulling together, though. And don't be pulling apart. You know, my papa used to plow horses, and so they kind of be pulling it apart. And one of them trying to go another way, and they couldn't get anywhere. But he says, always good to get a good team. So a husband and wife are a team. The devil wants to do everything he can to make marriage a battleground. And we know divorce is very rampant in our culture. But marriage is a wonderful thing indeed. So I hope you'll pay good attention to me. Now I'm going to read a few things first, because I can't say it like I want to, so I'm just going to read what I've got written here. But listen to this. The goal of marriage, what do you think the goal is? I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute. You may surprise you what the goal of marriage really is. Let me read this to you. There are many things a husband and wife should seek for in a marriage. They should serve each other, work together. Each should strive to make the other happy and fulfilled. They should endeavor to meet their mutual needs. However, the number one goal for a Christian couple should be to glorify God in their marriage. That'll be the number one goal. And the reason I say that, I'm going to give you 2 scriptures. So you think about that. Well, I want to be happy, but seeking for happiness in marriage is not what we ought to be doing. We need to seek to please God, and happiness will be a byproduct. Some people say, well, I won't get married, I won't be happy, I won't fulfill my needs. That's the wrong way to go about it. Well, say, I want to glorify God in my marriage, and then happiness will be a byproduct. But let's say, look at 2 scriptures in the context of marriage, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In Colossians 3:17, and right after that, it talks about the husband and wife role in verse 18 and 19. In Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God the Father by him. And then he talked about marriage. So whatever we do, we'll do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. Then the very familiar scripture over in Matthew 5:16, and let your light so shine before men in this place of marriage, they may see your good works as you try to be a good wife, a good husband, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the number one goal of marriage, I hope that will help you today. Sometimes we have difficult times in marriage, but remember, my number one goal is to glorify God. And what better age could we do that in this dark age when marriage is being attacked? So if we have some good, stable marriages, that's one of the best ways you can glorify God and be a good witness. Now I'm going to talk about the biblical role of husband and wife, and I don't understand this, but I want to go the Bible way. By the way, what I'm doing on this, I'm getting immersed in this subject. Brother Bradley preached a great series on the Christian home several years ago. The most popular thing they've ever done in the Baptist Bible Hour. They're still selling albums about that. And the church just purchased that album on CD. So if anybody wants to get that, in fact, Nathan's in-law did that. They bought it and went through the whole thing. 22 sermons. I've listened to all those sermons. I myself wrote a little book about marriage a few years ago. I'm going to try to get it published. About 17 pages, 8 and a half by 10. And there's other things, too. So I'm really immersing myself. I could preach on this all year if I want. Several sermons on this. You'd be praying. I get it, the essence. But this study really surprised me. You think the husband's role would be first, but he considered the wife's role first. So that's why I'm going to talk about the women first. I'm going to give you three passages of Scripture you might want to look at yourself. Let's write this down or make a mental note so you can do some studying on your own. This marriage is talked about in three places primarily in the New Testament. More than that, but this is the three primary places. One of them is Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 18. Ephesians 5, which is the fullest of all. And then also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. In 1 Peter 1 through 7, 6 verses on the wife, 1 verse on the husband. But that one verse, if they do what's right, is harder to do than the 6 verses that the sisters do. So again, let me give those. Won't you read those this week and think about them and meditate on them. Colossians chapter 3, beginning verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll think about verse, I forgot what verse it is, at the last part of Ephesians 5. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. So the first place I'm going to go is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. You might want to turn there with me, because I'm going to talk about the wife today. I hope you'll be in prayer. You know, marriage is a wonderful thing indeed. People make fun about it. They make jokes about it. They ridicule it today. But it's a great thing. It's a happy time. And I want to encourage you young people, marriage should start out good and get better. I've been blessed that way. Mine started out good, gets better. Haven't been perfect. I've been a perfect husband by far. You've been done a lot better job than I've done. But somebody not long ago, one of our young people who's not here today, kind of felt bad because somebody told him, say, you know what, you don't know about this marriage stuff. Said, that man won't be the same 20 years ago he is now. They said it in a derogatory way. This sister talked to my wife. She said, what about that? I mean, she's kind of scared. My marriage is kind of maybe get me that way. It may not be happy or may break up someday. And she said, no. If you do it right, it starts out good and gets better. So you young people, if you do it the right way, I tell you, God bless your marriages. Sometimes young people don't even want to get married. They're afraid, well, we see all these people breaking up. I know one man who came from a broken home, and he's going to wind up an old bachelor, I guess. And I think the one reason that kept him getting married is he'd afraid. Don't be afraid. When you think God's way, it can be better. If we've got a troubled marriage, it can get healed up by God's wonderful grace. He got the remedy for it. Anyway, let's look at Colossians 3. Now, like I said, I'm doing the lady's role first, the wife's role first, because that's what the Bible does. So I'm going to go the Bible route. In all three of these places I'm talking to you about, in Colossians chapter 3, in Ephesians chapter 5, and 1 Peter chapter 3, for some reason he considers the wife first. Then he talks about the husband, so that's what I'm going to do. There'll be some repetition, but I don't apologize for that, because I'm not a lot of repetition. I'll try not to be redundant, but I will probably say some things more than one time in a different way. In Colossians chapter 3, one verse here only. That's what a verse it is. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Now, boy, the feminists don't like that. The world doesn't like that today. And some people think that's caveman stuff. They don't really understand it. Or they rebel against it one or the other. So, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is the Lord. Now, let's look at that a little bit. The word translated submit, what does submission mean? I'm going to talk about that today. What is submission? Well, it's a military word, really, originally a military word. It's hypotasso. It means to rank under. The word has nothing to do with worth, has everything to do with rank. God gives the husband the headship. Now, let me tell you how, and by the way, let me say this too, and I'll repeat this. Because some people do it wrong, we don't need to be spooked. We need to do it right. There have been some kind of scary things happen in the last few years, this patriarchy movement, and I'm not totally against the patriarchy movement, but they've gone too far. That's a bunch of Christians. And right now, that patriarchy movement is under fire, and that's regrettable to me because some men have messed up. Like Bill Gothard, you know, he's kind of in disgrace right now. I don't know if the accusations are true or not. Doug Phillips from Vision Forum just has fallen. And the secular world is rejoicing. I hate that, what's happened to these men. They have done wrong. But the patriarchy movement, they believe the man ought to be the head of the house, and brothers and sisters, the man ought to be the head of the house, but they push it too far. The man is not a dictator. He's not a tyrant. He's a loving leader. But just because some people have done it wrong, don't think that's wrong. Some people talk about mutual submission. Like, well, the husband submits, the wife submits. That's true in a way, but there's a one way the wife submits, the husband doesn't submit. Because the husband is the head. Now, I'm going to give you two examples of this submission about this ranking under. One of them is, I've told you this before, many years ago, a sister that I pastored lived with a very difficult husband. He was a really, you talk about an unbeliever. You could put a big U, a capital U on that one. He was a real unbeliever. She had a real hard life, really hard life. So she came to Bobby Poe and me, who were packing the together at that time, and said, I'm going to leave my husband. I just can't stand this anymore. So she was a believer, so we talked to her about this submission. I used a word picture. I said, let's make like somebody's in the army. There's a private who's a great godly individual. And there's a captain who's an ungodly man. He's profane, but the private still salutes the captain. He may not respect the captain, but he respects the rank. I said, if you really love the Lord, you're going to submit to your husband, not because he's a good man, but because you obey God. And you know she did that? And she said, Brother Zach, I'm going to do it because I love the Lord. I'm in melting my heart to see somebody that's obedient. Well, the good news is they're still married, really old, and they have to learn to love each other. In fact, I talked to one of their daughter not too long ago. She said, we've never seen my day like this. Just like lovebirds. That woman was obedient to God Almighty. Brother Brady had a good example. You know, a policeman has got some authority, right? So let's just say that, Sarah, I'll pick on you, you're a lady. We'll say that Sarah is stopped by a policeman. And so he said, I'm going to give you a ticket for speeding. She said, wait a minute, what kind of man are you? Are you a good man? Are you obedient to the law? Are you a good husband? If you're not the kind of man you ought to be, I'm not going to submit to you. Well, she'll wind up in jail. So the deal is, you respect the rank. You respect the rank. So they rank under the husband. But that's not oppressive at all. And let me help you on that. The most perfect man who ever lived, the only perfect man who ever lived was Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever lived that was perfect. He had sinful mother and daddy, even though Joseph was not really his daddy. He's his legal father. And if you look at Luke 2:52, which I won't turn there, in Luke 2:52, this is the time when he was 12 years old, went to the temple. And when he went home, the Bible says he was subject to Joseph and Mary. That's the same word translated submission. So isn't that amazing? If Jesus, and you children listen to that too. I'll get on y'all later. We're going to talk about children later on these sermons. And you children may not have a perfect mother and daddy. And they'll make some mistakes sometimes. They'll have some faults sometimes. But you better not despise them. God doesn't like that. He wants you to obey them. If Jesus Christ could obey Joseph and Mary, he was perfect. You're an imperfect individual. You kids are. You're all a bunch of little sinners like we're big sinners. We old people are. And so you can and must respect the rank of your mother and daddy because they rank over you also. Now, he said over here and again in our text in 3:18, he said, why submit yourself to your own husband as it is fit in the Lord? That means it's proper. We don't. What's the opposite then? Listen, sisters. It's improper not to submit to your husband. It's not seeming. There's something incongruous about that. You don't submit to your husband. There's nothing. It's beautiful to see a submissive wife. Now, you don't turn me out. I hadn't talked about submission yet. What are we talking about? I'm going to give you some definitions of submission, biblical definitions. Let me just say this. The good news is this. This is historically provable. Much, much provable. The only religion that had ever consistently liberated women had been Christianity. That's provable. All other denominations, all other religions do not put women in the proper place. I mean, none of them. Islam is one of the worst of all. Women have virtually, most of history have been slaves and objects are just to be used. That's true of the Roman Empire for most of the time, And almost all history, women have been downtrodden. But not on Christianity. Christianity has elevated women to her proper position. And so, it's not bad to be submissive to your husband. Now, let's keep going. This is something I want to really make a big deal about this. I'm going to make a great big deal about something. This struck me as I was studying for my little book. It says, submit to your own husbands. To your own husband. I'm going to read you all the scriptures that say that. Because it's consistent that the Holy Spirit said, on. That is, in one sense, a slap at the patriarchal movement. Now, we do believe in male leadership in the church. Really, be a lot better to have male leadership in the society. Even though we get some people like Margaret Thatcher who did a good job, but still, though, it's better if men lead, a lot better. Biblically, I can show that. But in the church, we have male leadership. We do not believe in women usurping authority over men because the Bible teaches against that in the book of Timothy and other places like that. But you can carry that too far. I know some places, I've even been to a place one time, one of the Premier Baptist churches, the church up in South Carolina, I preached that one time, and all the men were just subject to all the women just about subject to all the men. That's kind of cultic. That is not right. If I had something to say to Sister Melissa Beecham, I will go through her husband. He's her head. I'm not her head. I'm her pastor. I know she respects me. And we can have good conversations. But if there's something I need to really talk to her about, Cooper is the man I go through. He is her authority. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to prove it to you by the Bible. So sometimes people get things out of balance. Men are in leadership positions, but my friend, a woman is to be submissive, and women need to be godly women. But biblical submission, she's submitting to her husband. That's what the Bible teaching. Now let me read to you those places. I've got several places. I'm going to do all of them I can find. And I'm doing this on purpose to show you consistently on, O-W-N, husband. Over in Titus chapter 2, verse 5. To be discreet, and we can get on some of these scriptures later, maybe, if I don't listen to them anyway, because they're good reading. I don't know how long I'm going to carry this series on. Women are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So therefore, let's just say this as a sideline. If a sister does not obey her own husband, God's word is being blasphemed. And I don't think you sisters want to do that. God's word is being spoken against if a woman is not obedient to her husband. That's what the word of God says. Okay, Colossians 3:18. I already read that one. Why submit yourself to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Ephesians 5:24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The word own, consistent in it. Ephesians 5:24. Well, I mean 5:22. I skipped that one. Why submit yourself to your own husbands to the Lord? Two times there in Ephesians. Then we got a couple places in Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, which is one of the passages I'll go to, not today, but later. Likewise, ye wives, be subjecting to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, but you're all again. And then, you know the Holy Spirit does this on purpose, didn't he? That really struck me. I didn't know that. I didn't think about this until I got to study it on my own, to write a little book. I said, this strikes me. This is something that needs to be emphasized, because God's emphasizing this. You be subject to your own husband. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves in the subjection to their own husbands. So I just wanted to carry that point out. Now, let me read you what John Gill said about submission. I'm fixing to get to some real meat and potatoes in a few minutes. I'm going to get where the rubber meets the road, old J. Vernon McGee used to say. Here's what John Gill says. I like this. Assuming no authority over her husband. She's not assuming authority. She's not taking an authoritative position. As not in ecclesiastical, so not in domestic matters. Now here's what she's doing. Seeking to please him in all things. That's what a sister ought to do. Doing nothing without his will and consent and never contrary to it. That doesn't mean she doesn't have a mind of her own and can't appeal to him. But the buck's got to stop somewhere. You know, even old Truman said that one time. He had a buck on his desk in the White House. The buck stops here. And my friend, the husband, that's really not very much fun sometimes. We have to make some hard decisions. But God can hold us responsible for our family. You know that? God can hold us responsible for the sanctification of our wives, and he can hold us responsible for our children. Now, I know sometimes they may rebel and do wrong. He won't hold us responsible for that, but we got to do what's right. And so we men got quite a job. Ruben, you better start shaking your boots, buddy. You're fit to get married, and you're going to have a real hard role. It's a difficult role, but it's a good role. And we men need to step up to the plate and fulfill the role that God has given to us. Okay. Let me say that now. Sister, what's your main role? What's your main role? Don't tell me out loud now. Shake me up here. I'm going to tell you, I know what your role is. It's a good role. The primary role in marriage is for a woman to be her husband's helper. I've got a brilliant wife. She's not too smart, she married me, but I shouldn't tell the kind of joke, should I? But I got a brilliant wife, and I want to honor her today and some of your other sisters who have brain power and ability and organizational skills. It can be used to make a lot of money in the world, but they have voluntarily dedicated those skills to their husbands and their children. And I tell you, God is pleased with that. And I today rather call my wife blessed, like Proverbs 31 says that men will do. And my sister, my wife is a fulfilled woman. She's a fulfilled woman. We have other fulfilled women in this church. I've never seen a happy feminist yet. Feminists are as mean as a watchdog, as a junkyard watchdog. So they don't have any peace inside. And Judy's not inferior to me at all. In fact, she's my superior, really. Most of us men, we think we've married above ourselves. That's why the woman was created, to be a helper to her husband. The ideal wife is portrayed as, you know, you girls won't know how to be a good husband. Mercy, just read Proverbs 31. Chapter 10 through 31, verses 10 through 31, the virtuous woman. That's the virtuous woman. That's what God wants you to be. Now, Joe Holder, a preacher out in California who I have known since he was a young man, wrote something beautiful. I've got to read this to you. If you want to get the copy of this letter, I'll give it to you. I thought this was beautiful what he wrote. So, essentially, this is something good. Let's get this. You'll like this, I think. You might want to write this down, or maybe give you a copy of this. The woman who fills her assignment from God will nurture her husband with confidence, love, and respect, satisfying his needs as no other person on earth. She will surround and protect him from seeking ego satisfaction in unhealthy or ungodly ways, making him know he is the most important thing in her life. She will draw his best side and develop it by her presence and actions. That is sweet. That is so sweet. I got to read that again. That's really sweet. That's kind of making me want to cry a little bit. Simply, you're the power behind the throne. I'm not kidding. You're the power behind the throne. Proverbs 31, he's respected by the city, this man is, in Proverbs 31. You can hurt your husband or you can help your husband. If you reverence your husband, which means to respect him, you can't imagine what potential that he has you'll draw out of him. But on the other hand, you can just kill him. My wife is good about that. I'm kind of high-maintenance husband. We kind of joke about that around the house. I need a lot of affirmation. And if I don't get all the affirmation I need, sometimes I get kind of down the dumps. She won't be like J. MacArthur. I've told that, you know, Douglas MacArthur. Jean kept calling him the general. Judy won't do that. I've been begging her to do it. She won't do it. But maybe someday she will. I don't know. I can't work on her. Let me read that again. This is so sweet to me. What a good thing. What a role you women have. What a wonderful role you sisters have. It's wonderful. What potential do you have as you grow in this? The woman who feels her assignment from God will nurture her husband with confidence, love, and respect. You think the man nurtures the woman, this is your nurturing your husband. Satisfy his needs and no other person on earth. She will surround him, protect him from seeking ego satisfaction in unhealthy or ungodly ways, making him know that he is the most important thing in her life. She will draw his best side, develop it by her presence and actions. Keep her go down that old nasty world and has to fight this old ungodly world, comes home and says, Melissa is the one who can surround him. And old Jericho will go out there and he's going to knock heads out there in this whole world. And Sarah is going to be the one when he comes home to a safe house, a woman who I know loves me. My boss has been fussing at me today. I've had a lot of statically ungodly people, but I know I've got a safe place at home. My wife loves me. She believes in me. So that makes me strong. Sister, you got a powerful role. Isn't it a good role? There's nothing wrong with that. That's a great role. That's a great role. Now, let's talk about, let me say this too. Submission is limited to those things that are according to God's word. In other words, if I try to get Judy to do something ungodly, she shouldn't do it. If I say, Judy, let's cheat on income tax, or Judy, go do this nasty thing, this vulgar thing. Let's go look at this ungodly movie. She's not to do that. But be careful, because sometimes women, knowing that, use that excuse to not do things that are legitimate. So don't make that excuse. Just because we're living, and I'll say this too. Let's just say your husband does something that's a little questionable and you don't want to do it. Should you just get in his face and say, I'm not going to do it, and just grit your teeth? Don't do that. Let me give you a good place to look in the good word picture. The book of Daniel. It's a wonderful word picture. Daniel was supposed to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine, and evidently it must have been dedicated to pagan gods because he could not do it in good conscience. But he just said, I'm not going to do it. He didn't do that. He appealed to the official there and said, you know, I don't do this. Try this over here. Try this. And all he suggested a creative alternative. And that the man went ahead with that, and you know, he won. He said, let's just eat this pulse of water. And it worked. So what you ought to do is appeal to your husband. And a reasonable man will listen to wife. I would not run with my wife. Sometimes we disagree. And sometimes I've had to trump her and say, pull my headship on her and say, honey, we got to do this. I've just got the final decision in mind. But a man that wronged his wife is a fool. I've even known men, I've called people, not fools, I've called them foolish. And I knew one man who made a lot of bad financial decisions. I said, you know, there's one difference between me and you. I said, I'm not very good on finances either. I said, you're sure not good on finances. I said, the difference between me and you is, I'm not going to roll over my wife, you're going to roll over your wife. If my wife, I remember one time, well, there's something I wanted to buy. And I just didn't, I'm glad I didn't buy them now. One time I wanted to buy a van. I could just see that van. I got so tired of my kids in the old station wagon, we get so crowded in that thing. And they got tired of it too. I got this old Dodge van. I went out on the Covenant Pike. I could just see me paying for that thing. Got a few yards or something, getting a little extra money. And my wife objected to it. I didn't get, thank God I did. I've been paying that thing for 5 years. It was worn out before I got paid for. So I didn't roll over her. So brethren, don't roll over your wife. Let me tell you something else. Women have intuition that we don't have. I remember one time this happened out in Texas. There was a real estate man, a very able real estate man. His wife didn't know anything about real estate. But one time he thinks to make a deal, and she said, honey, I don't feel good about this. There's something I don't feel good about this. So he decided this time to listen to her. Even though he knew she didn't know anything about the technicalities, he decided to listen to her. You know what? That guy that he was going to go in with turned out to be a crook. He had lost his shirt. So sometimes women have tuition. So let's make fun of a woman's tuition. She might not be right all the time, but she might be right. At least we can listen to her. We need to communicate, don't we? And we need to talk to each other and not just abruptly say, I'm not going to do that. We need to, that's our partner. Listen, folks, we're partners in this thing. Husband and wife are a team, a good team. That's what we need to cultivate, the ability to work together. Sometimes we don't know how to work together like we ought to. Now, I'm going to talk about what submission is not and what submission is. Okay, so pay attention. Now, I'm through when I get through this. It's not relinquishing. I'm going to give you four things submission is not. It's not relinquishing your personality. I've known men who squashed a woman's personality. I knew one real bright sister. Just bright and just, she was not flighty. She was happy and kind of upbeat, and she married this husband who had this incredibly melancholy personality. I saw her a few later, and I felt bad. She had just changed her personality. He squelched her. Don't do that. Your wife got a certain personality. You're not relinquishing your personality. Sometimes God puts opposites together. That's pretty good sometimes. I'd hate for everybody to be like me. We'd be a messer like me. Also like me. She has things that bounce me out. And first it irritates you when you first get married, so you got to be careful about all that. But you learn how to work together. So you're not relinquishing sisters. You're not relinquishing your personality. Brethren, don't make your wife. Sometimes a husband may be super organized. A wife may be kind of disorganized. Don't crush her. Help her get better organized, if you can. Don't just crush her. I remember one time, little Bobby Poe went to a counseling thing, this old Henry Brandt. He told about this guy's an engineer. He's just a genius engineer, you know, for Christ, mathematical, all that kind of stuff. His wife was not that way at all. So what this man did, he saw a cobweb above a refrigerator. How about that? He didn't get the cobweb down, he's taller than she was, she should have done it, or did the same thing to her about it. He got mad. So it goes on one day, 2 days, 1 week, two, about 3 or 4 weeks. After a month, he just blew the stack. Look at that cobweb up there. What should he have done? Either get the thing himself or tell her about it. She's not a mind reader. So the point is, brethren, if your wife's got an opposite personality, help her if you can in a godly way, but don't just crush her. Submission is not relinquishing your personality. It's also not relinquishing your responsibility. Sometimes women may hide behind it and say, well, my husband is one who is the head of the house, so I don't have any responsibility. No, you've got responsibilities too. So don't use that excuse to just be a, don't do anything. God's given you a mind, and so you don't relinquish your responsibility either. You're not a slave. Submission is not slavery. Like I said earlier, study history. Christianity has liberated women. Christianity put women on a pedestal, really. I really appreciate what Elizabeth Elliot said. I like Elizabeth Elliot a lot. And she talked about her, I think it's her uncle, or maybe it's been her father, I forgot now. But I love what he said. And brother, we ought to be the, he said, my daddy reverenced womanhood. I like that. We ought to reverence womanhood, shouldn't we, Richard? The world used women for objects of exploitation. We Christian men, we ought to reverence womanhood. If we reverence womanhood, a woman may meet our standards. You know what? It's like a man. A woman can bring the best out of a man. We can bring the best. If I expect a woman to be a woman, she'll be a woman. If we expect women to be modest and godly like they should, women really help civilize society. When women are what they ought to be, civilization is more civilized. We've been a rough lot by nature. We don't apologize for that, the way we were made. We got leadership ability, stuff like that, aggressive. We're the ones that fight the war, supposed to be fighting the war. So we need to reverence womanhood. I like that. He put women on a pedestal. Women ought to be on a pedestal. We've been able to put them there and protect them while they're there. And expect the best out of them. So it's also not a slave. And brethren, she's not inferior. Let me show you plainly why I know she's not inferior. Jesus Christ, as I've already talked to you about Luke 2:52, submitted himself to his to Joseph and Mary. But you know, Christ was a member of that Trinity. Christ also submitted himself to the Father. That doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is inferior to God the Father. But he did submit himself to the Father. There's an office as a mediator. Ultimately considered, he is equal with the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But in his mediatorial office, a prophet, preaching king, as the God-man, he submitted himself to the Father. But we know he was not inferior to the Father at all. So it doesn't mean you're inferior. You're not inferior at all. Now let's talk about what submission is, okay? That's what it's not. Let's talk about what it is. I'm going to give you six things here, what submission is. Maybe this will help you. I hope it will. You can have this whole list if you want it later, if you want to meditate on it. Number one is you recognize God's headship, God's order of headship. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, you're recognizing this. You're doing like this Cypriot I told you about. They said, well, I will do it because I believe the word of God. I want to obey God. 1 Corinthians 11, 3, but I would have you know that the head of every woman is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God. That's God's order. So the head of the woman is the man. You recognize headship. And later I'm going to talk about the men, and you know what, men, I'm going to call you guys, call us guys, loving leaders. Loving leaders. Right out of Ephesians. Loving leaders. Yes, leaders. And we don't lead. The woman does all the leading. We have chaos in the household. We lead. We got to step up to the plate and lead. But loving leaders. Servant leaders, when you get right down to it. Christ was a servant leader. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, give his life, a ransom for many. Loving leaders. But I give on your eye roll letter. So it is recognizing God's order. It's also obeying and reverencing. Let me talk about both those things. We know obedience is there. Some women... Now, I've never had anybody tell me this, thankfully, because I probably wouldn't perform the ceremony, but I know a lot of women say, I'm not going to say love and obey. Well, it's right there in the Bible, right? It's from Titus. That's being submissive. Again, it's not unconditional. If there's something he asked you to do, son, God, he would not do that. But obeying is an action, but reverence is an attitude. And when I say reverence, I use that in the same sense that it means in Ephesians 5, she reverenced her husband. It means you respect your husband. There's one marriage seminar that I one time saw on video, and I like the title of it. Two words, love and respect. And that's good that they caught the essence of that. Because in Ephesians 5, that's it. The husband to love his wife, the wife is to respect her husband. And that, of course, more than that. But that's the essence of it. He's loving in a godly and Christ-like way, which is a big bill to fill. The woman is reverencing her husband, respecting her husband. So sit and respect the husband as best you possibly can. He's a sinner. Sure, he's a sinner. You know, when we first got married, I had a hard time. Let me tell you about that. I think this would be good to share that with you. I got a hot temper. I'm doing a lot better, by the way, believe it or not. But sometime on Sunday morning, I might get off temper a little bit. And so then, how do you guys like it if you'd call a preach? I got to get up and stand and preach. My wife sitting there knowing I was acting like a jerk. So I finally, and Judy never thought ill of me. I didn't know that. I thought she had every right to feel ill with me. I finally told her to say, listen, I may be a jerk, but I'm still called a preach. I'm going to preach. And she said, oh, you never bothered me. I know you're a human being. I know you're a human being. So your husband won't be perfect. But respect him. That's a command of God. Let the woman say she reverenced her husband. So you can do that. Like the man can love his wife. Some people say, we got to get divorced. We don't love each other more. Well, you've got to learn how to love each other. Just a command. No, it's a command. Love is a command. Reverence is a command. So you can learn how to do that. So, obedience, action, reverence, attitude, okay? Number three, oh, this is great. Kind and sweet, not resentful. Be kind and sweet, not resentful. Let's give you the scripture. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26. The virtuous woman. The virtuous woman. This is, I like all this. I'm enjoying this, my folks. So marriage is wonderful that God gives us. So the sister, part of her being submissive is to be kind. It says this about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. Isn't that good? That's kind of stepping on our toes, doesn't it? We need to learn how to be kind to each other. You know, we make a big mistake, don't we? We will be kind to outside people we don't even know. So we value our reputation. We will be unkind to people we love the most. You know how it goes, don't you? You're chewing the wife out. Shame, shame, shame. The phone rings. This harsh voice suddenly, hello? Do you know who it is? Maybe your boss. Don't tell me you can't control yourself. You're just not doing it. So we need to, we need to have good manners in our own households. Children and wives and husbands, we need to be gentlemen and ladies in our own households. We can work at that. I know we will. She's got a meek and quiet spirit. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, which I'll get there later with more detailed later. Talking about the woman, not the outward adorning, even though the outward adorning is good. I'm glad my wife outward adorns herself. She's attractive. It's okay for a sister to be attractive. Not provocative, but attractive. Tastefully attractive. But that should not be her only emphasis, though. That should not be her primary emphasis. The primary emphasis ought to be a spiritual adornment. So spend as much time on the spiritual adornment as we do on our outward adornment. 1 Peter 3, 4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. But to cultivate that, meek and quiet. Now, I told you this before. I said, I'm going to give you a trade secret. I hate to get all the trade secrets. I hope you men don't get mad at me. But I say, when my wife is meek and quiet, she can get me eaten out of her hand. But when she resists me, and she doesn't usually do it, there's something about my male nature that bucks up against that. And I believe both men are that way. I'm not excusing us, but most of us male, we're males. And I don't like our society trying to demasculate us. That's wrong. Like I've got a book I'm reading right now, Boys Be Boys, written by Meg Bigger. It's a great book. So we got a society that's putting men down on purpose. But we want to be the kind of men. But I'll tell you, sisters, if you be making quiet, you'll have a normal man eating out of your hand. But you come with a resistant attitude, and he'll buck up. He shouldn't do it, but he'll probably buck up. So it's a making quiet spirit. And here's the number. Here's, this is very important. The woman who's submissive will not criticize her husband to others. She won't criticize the others. In fact, you know, one thing that I like a lot over in Titus, talking about the older women, said the older women should teach the young women to love their husband, love their children. So let's just say a young woman did maybe go to some older woman and had something that she wanted to talk to her about her husband. The right kind of older woman would do what she could to help her. Honey, this could be better. Maybe work with her. Instead of telling her, you don't need to get out of that thing. You don't live with a guy like that. That's a terrible thing to do. So anyway, she won't criticize her husband. And you know, it's summed up in Proverbs 31:11. I love it. Oh, this is good. This is so good. Listen, sisters, you got to be this kind of woman. You got to be. They're rare as they can be, this kind of woman. This is a great, I'm one of those men. I'll jump up and down and say hallelujah, like I think I will. The heart of her husband thus safely trusted her so he had no need to spoil. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. You be the kind of woman, the heart of my husband safely trusting me. Money, that's just a minor part, and that's a very important. But any kind of part. I trust my wife to my back. Isn't that good? I don't have to worry about her running me down, criticizing me, denigrating me. Do everything she can to help me. Oh, my brothers, if you got a woman like that, no wonder Solomon said her price is far above rubies. Far above rubies. Now, let me close with saying, sisters, what are the blessings for a submissive wife? I'll tell you what they are. Over in Proverbs 31:28-29, you can't buy this with money, by the way. You cannot buy this kind of thing with money, but this is worth being a submissive wife for. Proverbs 28:29, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. What a reward for your children to genuinely say, what a godly mama that I've got. What a good wife she was to my husband, to my daddy. And really, sister, the best way you can teach your daughter to be good wives, you be a good wife for them, in front of them. Set the example. And then, again, to close with a script I've given you earlier. Here's your reward. Whatsoever you do, a word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, in thanks to God and the Father by Him. So that's submission. And if you want my notes, you can have them. If there's anything you want here, you know, I could preach for hours on stuff like this. There's all kinds of material, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to give enough what I think you can digest. But marriage is wonderful, folks. And being a wife is a great thing. Being a godly woman is a great thing indeed. And God favors that. And if our world had more of them, we'd have a happier world we live in. So anyway, y'all keep praying for me as I study to be able to get the essence of this thing. Like I say, I could preach forever. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that.